So hats off to moms. Awesome. Isn't that great? Of course, in our house, I'd be the one that'd be happy to get the vacuum. I'm the vacuuming man, so. All right. Well, let's consider today the message that the Lord has given me, Mom's Ongoing Mission. Because mom certainly is more of a verb than a noun. We know it's a title, and it's a great title. But she definitely is a action-oriented, stabilizing force in the house and children's lives. And she's like this woman in Proverbs 31:27, as our opening verse shows us. It says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, in my life, I've had a good example of a mom. She always was serving, was a blessing, and I grew up basically understanding moms in a very positive sense, and perhaps a little bit more of a negative understanding of a dad, as my dad was highly dysfunctional with alcoholism and such, but I had a pretty stable mom, and she was basically the stabilizer of the house because of the confusion brought in with my father and such, and she, that was her mission. I mean, that family was her ongoing mission. And she was this virtuous woman. And all of her children can look back and they rise up and call her blessed. Because as the verse says, she looked well to her household. Now, the original in the original language, the word looks, if you notice there in Proverbs 31:27, the word looks means to look forward. It means to peer into the distance, and it's actually used 20 times in the Old Testament for a watchman. When I first read this verse, I said, yeah, she's like the watchman on the wall. And then I did a little research into the word, and sure enough, that's the word for watchman. And if you understand the times in history, a city had walls for defense, and the watchman in the evening was in a very important post. Because that's when enemies would try to sneak up on the city and invade. And so mom is like the watchman, and she's looking well. She's tending to her household, to the husband, to the children. And as the verse finishes, she does not eat the bread of idleness. Unfortunately, even though I had a very positive and still have a very positive impression of my mother, I have come to learn that not all mothers function in this good way, and have been very saddened from time to time to be exposed to mothers that eat the bread of idleness, that they're just their mothers more in name than in deed. And so it's a saddening thing. I mean, usually when we think of our society, we think of a fatherless society and the detriment that has brought. And that's bad enough, but then if the mom's not functioning, if the mom is just there, but she's kind of lazy, kind of casual to her mission, that does not bode well for the children at all. Now, let me describe a AAA mom if you're taking notes. A AAA mom is affectionate, attentive, and active. She's looking well to the ways of her household. She's affectionate. That is, she comforts and she brings security. She's attentive. She's analyzing. She's inspecting. She's judging in a good way. She's active. That is, she stands ready to impart, to intervene, and to intercept. AAA, affectionate, attentive, and active. Now, in Judges chapter 5, there is a celebratory victory song, and it's unlikely that, as I was talking earlier today with some brothers, unlikely that many messages about mothers and Mother's Day are being given out of the book of Judges, and the whole message is pretty much out of Judges chapter 5. There's this song of celebration by a woman judge, the only woman judge listed in the book of Judges, Deborah. And then her cohort, Barak, and they just had a great victory. You see, if you read the book of Judges, it's one of the most miserable books in the Bible. it shows clearly the cycle that unfortunately we all tend towards spirituality, towards revival, and then a descent, coldness and leaving God behind, worshiping idols. And the people of Israel were just going through the cycle, And when the people left God, when they got involved in idolatry, God would give them into the hands of an enemy, and the enemy would treat them with cruelty. The people would cry out to God, and they'd be delivered by these judges. And so here was an episode in the book of Judges, both chapter 4 and 5, where an army had subjugated Israel, and the Bible talks about Deborah, that she rises up, she encourages a man by the name of Barak to go and fight against Sisera, who is the bad guy. He's a nemesis in this account. And here, for our purposes, we have a song that is sung by them in Judges 5, and it just happens to highlight three different mothers. So it's very convenient for us today to look at some examples of mothering, two good mothers and one terrible mother. Judges chapter 5, then, the first good mother is Deborah, the encourager. It says here in Judges 5, verses 6 and 7, as they're singing this out, "In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned, and travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel." Now let's take in this account here. It's very poetic. It's also very instructive. She's basically singing about the darkness of her time. She's singing about a time that was a time of paranoia almost, a time where you didn't travel in the highways. It was a scary time. It was a time where you didn't let your kids just go play anywhere. It was a time when there were enemies and predators on the prowl. We would call this perilous times. We would call this times of anxiousness. She says the highways were abandoned. Travelers kept to the byways. Verse 7, the villagers ceased in Israel. The King James says village life ceased. It was not a happy time in Israel's history. And they were under the heel of Sisera and his cruel army. And Deborah, basically, in serving God, she got frustrated. She had a connection with God. She was hearing the voice of God. And finally, she had enough. And even though the times were dark and oppressive, and even though there was plenty to be anxious about, it says that she basically, as I envision it, she shook herself. And she arose as a mother in Israel. She said, enough of this. Our God is great. God has delivered us before, and God can deliver once again. She's receiving the words from God, and what does she do? She speaks a word of faith and confidence to a man by the name of Barak. It's said here in Judges 4:14 in your notes, Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. Now, if you read the rest of the account in Judges 4, there's a great victory that occurs. But I want to focus in on this great woman of God, because God, he delivers not merely through the hand of Barak. See, God doesn't deliver through the strength of this army, a people that had been oppressed and already understood their weakness. But he basically uses Deborah to encourage Barak. And I want to encourage you mothers today. We know that we're in dark times. We know that we're in a time where there's predators everywhere, and it's almost a time of paranoia. And you got think forces working on the outside. You got the media. You got secular humanism and the school system and so many things that often can be working against the things of God. And we're in a season where there's a lot of oppression. I mean, it's not a bright moral season in America's history. the West is basically post-Christian, and the haunts of violence and deviancy are all about us. But I also want to encourage us that greater is he that's in us than he that is in this world. And moms, you don't have to operate from a position of terror. You don't have to give up and just be passive. But instead, you continue to seek God. Let God give you confidence and light. Let God speak to you. And when he speaks to you, then you're able to speak into your household. Then you're able to speak into your neighborhood. Then you're able to speak into the world. And you can encourage people. You can say, you know, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. And this is the attitude that Deborah has. You know, she in the natural, I'm just a woman. What can I do? But in the spiritual, she had given herself to the Lord. And the Lord was drawn to that kind of desire. I mean, what Amy spoke about before the song, how perfect. The Lord was drawn to that desire. And the Lord came in and encouraged Deborah. And then she was able to encourage Barak. And a total transformation happened in the society of Israel. And so, Mom, be aware, you have a position to encourage. You have a strategic place in the lives of your children, into your household. And sometimes, you know, it's not just the children. Sometimes your husband needs that kind of encouragement. He can go out into a dog-eat-dog world, and he's got his own insecurities. And be aware that you can have a Deborah-like function, that you can encourage and build him up. And you can say, you're a mighty man of God. You can say to your children, you're more than conquerors. You're not just to be victims of society. You are to be great men and women of God. And you can rise up and prevail. And so moms, grandmothers, don't underestimate the words of faith that God wants to give to you so you can speak life into the anxiety, into the fear, into the timidity that is part of this day and age. You must continue. Now, there's no way Deborah could have given that word if she was not connected to God herself. And so you need to be in the prayer place. The Bible talks about in Judges 4, the oak of Deborah. She had this special place that she judged from. And I could just imagine that was a place that she drew near to God. It was a place where she spent time, and she had her devotional life, if you will. And so moms, first and foremost, a very important part of your mission is that you have to be drinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be tasting and seeing that he is good for yourself. And as you do, then you'll have something to offer. And so it's hard to be an encouraging mother. It's hard to speak words of confidence and life-giving faith if it's not coming from God himself. And so moms, I would encourage you, I would provoke you to love and good works. Read your Bible. Pray. Have a connection with the community of God, the family of God, the church, so that you can be built up and so that you can speak as Deborah did into whatever situation you find yourself. And so this is a great mother. We also have another great mother, or a good mother, as I put it here, in Judges chapter 5. Now Deborah spoke to Sisera, just to give you the account a little bit further, Deborah spoke to Barak, and Barak conquered Sisera. Sisera's army was a mighty army, but God prevailed, and there was a great victory. So this general, Sisera, he basically flees for his life. And he comes to the home of Heber the Kenite, and he runs into another mom that we're going to look at here, Jael the exterminator. Now, this is a good mother. I know that doesn't seem like a very positive description, but trust me, she's just as good a mother as Deborah. Now, when Sisera came to hide out in this tent, Deborah sings of this matter. In Judges chapter 5, 24 to 27, here in your notes, she says, "Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, of tent-dwelling women, most blessed." Now, this is great accolades coming from Deborah. Deborah's highlighting the wife of Heber, the homemaker, if you will. Verse 25, he, that is Sisera, he asked water, and she gave him milk. Now, I want you to be aware here, listener discretion advised. This is going to be a very violent, bloody account, so if you've got a weak stomach, you might want to watch it here. This general tries to come and hide out in this tent. Verse 25, he asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought him curds in a noble's bowl. She sent her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet he sank. He fell. He lay still. Between her feet he sank. He fell. And where he sank, there he fell dead. Now, it's all nice-sounding poetry, but it's a very terrible, violent account, is it not? I mean, this is the kind of thing you think would be in a heavy metal song or something. But she basically takes Sisera in. Jael takes Sisera in. Now, this is a very dangerous thing here. Now, the Hebrews of the Kenites, they're not of the people of Israel. So this is another culture, and Sisera thinks that I can hide out with this group of nomads, as they probably were. And Jael recognizes the fact of the matter is that if we are discovering, aiding, and abetting Sisera, then that Israelite army is going to wipe us all out, which very likely would have happened, at least Jael's family. And so Jael, she's this one who looks well to the ways of her household. She's considering the fact that there is a threat. There's a definite threat to my family. And so Sisera comes to the door. Jael understands what's going on. Heber's out somewhere. We don't know where he's at. She brings him in. He asks for water. She gives him milk. Now, what does milk tend to do, especially if the man's already tired and on the run? It's going to cause him perhaps to go to sleep. She basically gives him something, almost like a sedative, if you will, to make him sleepy. Then she quickly goes. She grabs a nail and a hammer, and she goes to him, and you can read it in Judges 4. I mean, the Bible doesn't hold things back. And she, you know, happy Mother's Day, by the way. She takes his nail and his hammer and puts it right through, and he's basically pierced to the ground. He's dead on the spot. And this song of praise that the Holy Spirit gave to Deborah and Barak, this song of praise that is recorded in Scriptures, twice it is said, you are a very blessed woman, Jael. You are a blessed woman. Why is she such a blessing? Well, at the very least, she preserved her family. She recognized a threat that came into that household. Instead of being passive about it, instead of being casual about it, she said that my life's in jeopardy. My husband's life's in jeopardy. The members of our household, children, their lives are in jeopardy. And I'm going to step up and I'm going to put a stop to this right now. You see, she's that good mother. Of course, kids don't necessarily think of a mother like this as good when they're under her jurisdiction. But she's this good mother. She analyzes threats to the household. So she has no problem inspecting her children. No problem discerning her husband. She analyzes attitudes. She analyzes actions. She analyzes behaviors. She analyzes influences. And she is ready. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, some Harriet Olsen type, Little House on the Prairie, that is like the domineering boss and her husband is just this weakling. I'm not talking about that at all. But I'm talking about a woman that has strength, that she is a force to be contended with herself. You know, she doesn't have to say, wait till your father gets home and then you're going to get it. The kids already know that she's a force to be reckoned with herself. And this Jael, what a blessing. She takes out this threat. She's like that mom that just isn't going to let a bad attitude get by. She's not just going to allow any movie into that household. when she recognizes that internet sites have been visited, then she's going to be quick to take hammer and nail. She's going to be quick to get that filtering program or just to yank the thing out of the wall. She's the exterminator. You know, it almost sounds like the Terminator. Think about the movie, you know. Think about with your mom's head, you know, or your wife's. She's ready. You don't mess with her because she will not allow a toxic, poisonous threat to infiltrate that household. This is a great mom. Now, we might say, oh, I like Deborah better. You know, how building up of words of faith and affirmation. Well, that certainly is important. But I think JL is equally valuable. She just is not going to let her kids rule the house. She's going to recognize something, and then guess what? If she sees it as a threat, she's going to get the hammer, she's going to get the nail, she's going to go to work. She's going to be intrusive. She's going to intervene. She's going to intercept. She's like that spy, that watchful eye. Mom's always watching. Always analyzing. She's just not some pushover. She's just not eating the bread of idleness and into her own things. But she's kind of like busy looking well to the ways of her household. And if a Sisera-like force comes into that house, you know, she's going to think about it. Now, it doesn't say that she's rash here. Notice when Sisera got there, you can read it in Judges 4 later. You'll get the historical account. But she doesn't just, you know, go after Sisera right away. She doesn't have a big argument. She thinks it through, and she's both pleasant and potent. She's calculating. He asked for water. Just the fact that he's been seen here does not bode well for us. And so she brings him in. He wants water. She gets milk. Now, don't mistake her mild persona for weakness. She is not this vicious, argumentative Jezebel type. This crazy woman, you know, the Bible talks about that woman that causes her husband to go dwell in the corner of the house, and she's not like that. She's shrewd, but she's also sophisticated. But don't mistake her mild persona, her welcoming, for weakness. You know, she may not throw that boyfriend out right away. She might not cut to the quick and say, I don't like her at all, so get rid of her. But she's going to be thinking about it. She's going to be discerning. And eventually there might come a point where she says, you know what? He's not good for you. She's not welcome here anymore. She's not going to allow Sisera type of influences to rule in the life of her children, to in any way endanger the peace of her household. So she brings Sisera in, puts him to sleep. She's calculating. She comes up gently, slowly but surely, and it doesn't take a second blow. He's done. She is this well-rounded, reasonable, moderate person that is ever watchful of her household. Now, I'm glad I have a wife like that. She's a reasonable person. She's well-rounded. She's not quick to be vicious, but if she needs to go in defensive posture, she certainly can. And trust me, some of you younger ones out here, that you have a mom like that, you might resent that right now. And I always got to watch out what I do around mom. Why does she always want an accounting? Why does she want me home at a certain time? Well, I'll tell you what, you've got a great mom. Your mom is like an exterminator. It's like when you got bugs in the house, you want to get an exterminator. By the way, anyway, battling ants like I am, I mean, what's going on? But, you know, she is going to be watching. She's going to come in, and eventually, strategically, she will do that exterminating. You sons and daughters, you're blessed to have a mother like that. Cursed is the one who gets to do whatever he wants. The destiny of the one who has a mother that says, just do as you please. That's not a good destiny. You're very blessed to have that exterminator-like mother in your life. Paul says in Ephesians 5, 10 through 12, it's kind of like JL in a spiritual sense. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Two great moms, two good mothers in Judges chapter 5. But now we'll see a terrible mother. And my experience, of course, in the natural, I've had a good mother, and I know many good mothers, even in this body, of course, many good mothers. But unfortunately, there is such a thing as a terrible mother. And Sisera's mother is the terrible mother that's exposed in Judges chapter 5. Now, if Deborah was an encourager, Jael was an exterminator, Sisera's mother is the excuser. Now, just to refresh your memory, Sisera is the arch nemesis. Sisera is like the Satan type in this story. He is the enemy. He has been oppressing the people of God for 20 years. The Bible says in Judges 4 that he had, I think it was like 100 chariots, or no, 900 chariots, and he oppressed with great cruelty the people of Israel for 2 decades. Now, Sisera, of course, he's gone out in another campaign. He has been defeated. He now lies dead. And here's where the song picks it up in Judges 5, 28 through 30, near the bottom of your notes. It says concerning her, out of the window she peered. The mother of Sisera wailed through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariots? Her wisest princesses answer. Indeed, she answers herself. Have they not found and divided the spoil, a womb or two for every man? Spoil of dyed materials for Sisera. Spoil of dyed materials embroidered. 2 pieces of dyed work embroidered for the neck as spoil. Now, when I read this, and I've read it many times, but this time I kind of got another sense of Sisera's mother. Bear with me as I conjecture a bit. Notice all of her attention to the consumer goods. All of her attention. It says that they've got dyed materials and embroidered materials and spoil. I mean, she's talking all about the wealth, all the things that Sisera, as they imagine, are gathering. And she kind of strikes me as this consumer-driven, comfort-oriented woman. She's just waiting for her little boy, waiting for her little man to bring back all of the wealth. And no doubt she's looking forward to having some of it. She's looking forward to consuming. She reminds me of this woman in Proverbs 31:27, where it says that they eat the bread of idleness. She's just sitting there looking out her window, and she's got these other ladies, the chief of the community, the royal ladies or the princesses. They're all waiting for the goods to come their way. You see, they have absolutely no concern, no moral compunction, absolutely no analysis of the violence and the wickedness that has happened. In fact, they just mention it as though it's a non-point. Did you notice that there in verse 29 when they all answer together? Verse 29, her wisest princesses answer. Indeed, Sisera's mother, she's like comforting herself in this. Look at how they comfort themselves. Have they not found spoil and divided divided spoil? And then a womb or a maiden, little girl, okay? This is going to be a little rough to hear. A womb or maiden or two for every man. Now, if you understand this, in these times when armies invaded and they pillaged, it was not a pretty sight. They killed the adults, they killed the men, and then they took the women captive, took the children as slaves, often killing the male children. And here they are just casually saying, oh, I know why they're late. That's because they're probably out raping a girl or two. They're out molesting a little girl or two. Can you believe this? I mean, it's off the charts as far as tolerance goes here. Making an excuse and absolutely no thought for the abomination that's occurring. No care at all. He's my little man. He's my good boy. And it's like, you know, here we have an evil, excessive, consumer-driven person. So Sarah's mother. And it's almost like she has bred and encouraged the same. It's like her son is twice fold the devil that she is. Twice as hardened. She's basically trained him up to go after the lust of his flesh. And so Sarah, you know, he's a wicked man. He's a vicious man. He's a ruthless man. He's a Hitler type. He has no problem killing and pillaging and raping and enslaving and being cruel. But here's Mama back at home. And it almost gives us a little insight into his past. Mama had no problem excusing little Sisera. If we could imagine together, let's look back into Sisera's past. Let's look back into his childhood. Do you think that Sisera was challenged for his sinfulness as a young boy? Do you think there was any type of confrontation and training up in a godly way? Now, that's kind of comical to think about. You can see with Mama here that she's so tolerant, she's so compromised and lukewarm, and she has no problem with her son's sinfulness. Now, let's consider this. I got an article here entitled Mama's Excuses by one Debbie Pearl. And just let's imagine that this is Sisera's mother and Sisera. My little man missed his nap today. That is why he slapped your Johnny. When your Johnny started screaming that he was hurt, it upset my Sisera, my boy, so badly that he threw your cup and broke it. But he didn't do it intentionally. Besides, he was just upset that it was empty, and he doesn't yet understand how to ask. The whole thing's just a misunderstanding. My Sisera is normally such a sweet child, but he doesn't do well around so many new people. He's shy, you know, and his way of showing his feelings is throwing a fit. Well, it's not really throwing a fit. It's only that he loses his control of his emotions because he's so emotionally high-strung. I read about high-strung children being uptight and often explosive and not knowing how to direct their feelings. I know he must be overly bright. And besides, being emotionally volatile runs in the family. You do understand. Now, I know this is kind of hard to imagine that a mother could make such excuses, so bear with me here. So just imagine a mother, Sisera's mother, and her precious little boy. You know, no evil, no nothing wrong there. He just, you know, let's make some excuses for him. Oh, here's Mama's boy right now. He's hungry now and can't wait for dinner. I think maybe he has a touch of low blood sugar and just gets frantic when he's hungry. He wants a peanut butter cookie. He doesn't want to have what everybody else is having. I know you planned on having the cookies later, but one little cookie won't make any difference because he wants it right now. Oh, I'm sorry that my little Sisera hit your Johnny. He thinks it's unfair that Johnny gets the best toys. See, at my house, I try to give the youngest visiting children the best toys, but I guess you don't have that rule, you know, the golden rule. Anyway, he's so young he can't understand why Johnny's toys are not his. You know, think about little Sisera. He's raised up. He doesn't understand property rights. Everything is for him. You know, just no boundaries. And so he grows up, and he's this great general. No boundaries. We rape. We pillage. We conquer. We don't care. And there's Mama back at home. I wonder why he's so late. Oh, I guess he's really got a good bounty this time. Boy, we're going to enjoy another wave of blessings. But going on, he doesn't understand. Yeah, that's it. There's no evil in his heart, of course. There's no thefts and needing to be trained. He just doesn't understand. He's not capable of sharing yet. He's too young. Oh, and he gets so stressed, not mad. He's just stressed when he thinks the other children unfairly have the best toys. He has such a high sense of right and wrong. I really hate to explain to him about the toys being Johnny's because he gets so depressed when he realizes he is wrong, has to give up his toy. I know it's just a stage he's going through. You know, I've heard that people really smart tend to be moody. and he's given to depression. I have that problem as well. When he's tired or hungry, sometimes I can tell he has a headache and it makes him irritable. I bet he has a headache right now. If he really gets disappointed about something, he holds his breath. I'm afraid he'll die right there just because some child was too selfish to share with him. And that lady at church that leads the little boys' class, she avoids my son. That must be what it is. She avoids my Sisera. I could tell she does not like him. He's so sensitive and knows when someone thinks he's bad. It's just not fair. He told me that she did not give him a cookie last week. She gave one to all the other boys. I asked another little boy. He said only the boys that picked up their books would get a cookie. But I knew she did it just to hurt him and make him feel rejected. My little Sisera, my little golden boy, my little angel. He has such a strong will, you know, like his daddy. He finds it very hard to give in. Most children of average IQs, they just go blindly and do what they're told. Those are the ones that obey. But with his good mind, he has to think things out before he decides to obey. The reason he shut the door, that's the reason that he shut the door when you told him not to shut it. Of course, he might not have understood what you meant then. He did not mean to disobey or shut the door on your baby's hand. It was just an accident. He's so easily frustrated because he expects so much of himself. He's so sensitive. He can tell others are displeased with him. He needs people, especially ladies like you, to really like him so he can feel good about himself. No, please don't think he lied to you. You know, you've got a bunch of examples, a bunch of excuses here. Don't think he lied to you. He would never intentionally lie. He misunderstood what the children were doing. You see, you can see by the intense, earnest way he's looking at you that he could not be lying. He's not old enough to understand such deception. I can always tell if he's guilty. I know most mothers cannot because they're not as attuned to their children as I am to him. He tells me everything, and I mean everything. Mama's excuses. Could this perchance be contributory towards Sisera and his adulthood? Now, I'm not wanting to lay the blame and saying that it's always A equals A. If you don't raise them right, then they come out to be terrors. There's certainly a contribution. And we've all seen good kids come out of bad situations and terrible kids come out of good situations. So there's no guarantees. But if you are making an excuse for your children's sinfulness, if you are just excusing things and not being that exterminator-like, that disciplinarian, that teacher, speaking the words of God, don't be surprised if you have a Sisera that comes inevitably. And Sisera came to a terrible end. And so I know that's not the most exciting way to end a Mother's Day message, but there you go. Two good mothers, one terrible mother. Let's turn it over and we'll bring it to a conclusion. Key point for today. Moms, be mindful of your mission. You are on a mission. Encourage. Be ready to exterminate. Don't be making excuses for negligence and dereliction of duty. Some questions as a mom. Am I aware of my mission to encourage growth and maturity? As a mom, am I cleaning my family's physical house while our moral house is a mess? As a mom, do I make excuses for my children's sin? Am I truly dealing with reality that there's an evil heart there that needs to be dealt with and not excused? And so, moms, I do want to encourage you. I want you to be blessed. Continue on your mission. And grandmothers, you still have a mission. And you can take this kind of message too and give it to other moms that need to be instructed and encouraged this way. That would be a good thing. But if we could stand together, and let's just ask God today to bless the moms in our congregation. And so I want to call all the moms forward. Mom's ongoing mission. To encourage, to exterminate, to be a blessing, to speak words of faith, to build up confidence, to analyze, to call wickedness wicked and to deal with it.